Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Elijah Cummings, son of sharecroppers, master of the house. It is my official and personal and sad honor to welcome Chairman Elijah Cummings and all who loved him to this celebration of his life.
Back in 2015, his city roiled by unrest. By day, the congressman was here in the Capitol working and leading in these hallways of power. But every night, he rode the train back home and walked the neighborhoods, bullhorn in hand, encouraging unity and peace.
Yes, Elijah Cummings, part of the conversation on the Hill today. You heard Mitch McConnell there. And before that, Nancy Pelosi. So Republicans and Democrats recognizing their friendship, even if they didn't agree on many, many, many things. I liked something that I read about Elijah Cummings where the headline said his voice could shake mountains. Cummings lies in state at the U.S. Capitol. Thousands of mourners gathered Thursday to honor his life. He is frequently going to be remembered, I think, for "We can do better." I think that is his legacy. And he, as a Baltimore Democrat, was the first African-American lawmaker in our history to lie in state in the Capitol. That's been afforded to about 20 former senators, representatives, and presidents, if you look back in our history. So that's part of what's happened in Washington while all the impeachment conversation continues to roll through the Capitol as well. This was just kind of an interesting break in that. And you did absolutely have Democrats and Republicans coming together because he did have friends on both sides of the aisle, and he served for a very, very long time. Also, we have fires in California that are going on, and I feel for you if you live in the north or the south. In fact, one of the fires is right in that area where we saw horrific death and damage in Northern California, kind of near that Sonoma Valley area, the Kincade Fire. And they're saying it may be a PG&E-related thing. So the power company is in the crosshairs with many, many people for the blackouts, et cetera. And the fact that now you've got structures that are burning all over the place. I mean, California is in a sad state of affairs because of the Santa Ana winds and the dryness of it all. And so you have firefighters who are simply exhausted, and you're hearing things like 4,000 acres consuming homes and people being evacuated. And you can see all over Los Angeles, depending on where you are, honestly, smoke. I was sent a lot of pictures today from people who weren't far from the flames in Sherman Oaks, etc. And it's sad to see, but this is what is consistently happening in California every single year. And you could say, well, that's like hurricane season, it's the wildfires, but it just feels to me like it's even worse. So what do you do? What is the fire department saying? Could they burn more and cut across these lines? And there's so many people that are coming to help. Thank goodness for that. Let's go out to Grim, who's listening to us in Mississippi. Hey, Grim. Hi, Grim.
Hey, Kate.
Hey, what's up?
Well, good evening. But I have read, because I used to design transformers, and I've read the specifications on PG&E, and let me tell you, they're ridiculous.
They are.
That's because, it's just the requirements that the people put upon them.
Yeah.
Of course, you could draw a line through Sacramento, the Capitol building, and north, it's like Mississippi. But you go south, it's a whole different world. but yeah, it's their own sad situation that they've created, to be honest. I mean, there's a lot of things they could have done, because they've always had these fires for years. But you think about it, they've had a heck of a lot less fires back in the 50s and whatnot than they have now.
Yes.
It's a lot of it has to do with they used to be allowed to keep it cleared, but oh my goodness, you're going to kill the little gecko. So they couldn't get out
right
there with tractors and whatnot and cut the brush. And so they got nobody to blame but themselves.
That's true, because of building and how it's been built in some areas. So you have the dry air, you've got the 60-mile-an-hour winds, and then you have the refusal to be careful of where you're building and what you're doing and not clearing more areas. I've heard that from a lot of firefighters, that that's one of the big problems. And then they can't get their trucks into the places where they would normally try to squeeze in. They can't even get there, so they can't get near some of these buildings.
Well, they used to be able to, but see, that's just it. I heard an expert, his interview about the whole mess, and he proved to them that, yeah, they could go back to maintaining the brush from being clear from all this without hurting anything.
Yeah.
It's just like this stupid thing in D.C. with this quid pro quo and Adam Schiff and, I'm telling
yeah.
you, that is a coup. That's a coup.
So well, that's why the Republicans are fighting that.
Well, you start seeing the information as it comes in, because like you said
yeah.
last night, we're going to be able to start seeing this week a lot of the stuff that this Democratic committee has looked at. It's
yeah.
going to be made known to the public. I have already seen some of it, and
yeah.
I guarantee you, the guy that started squealing, what do you call him? I'm trying to think of the word.
Whistleblower.
What's he referred to as? Yeah, the whistleblower. His tight document, I could show you the dictionary, the law dictionary, and he lays it out just quid pro quo. He lays it out just as the Ballantine's Law Dictionary definition. Not the blacks, because the black is more Republican. It's more conservative. It's the original law dictionary we used. And Ballantine's was put together by a bunch of liberal lawyers to suit them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've changed. No, I agree with you. They've changed some of it. Somebody else pointed that out to me, and that's what we're going to see. And then this goes to the complaint. We've seen the complaint. We've seen text messages between Giuliani and the diplomats. We've seen some of what we know from the phone call. So more is gonna happen. I mean, this whole, like you said, quid pro quo. What's that about? And it's like I saw some headline somewhere where he said why it can be hard to say and why it may not matter. Yeah, why it might not matter. We'll see. And I think that some people are going to be very,
yep.
very surprised by what they see. Yeah, they're going to be mad. They're going to be mad, Grim. Have a great one. Thank you for the call. And hang with us, everybody. We got some great conversations coming up on the flip side.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bow.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product. Yeah.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Well, you're going to love our next guest because I speak so passionately about this, and so many of you understand that we've talked about this over the years in the 15 years that I've been doing this show. And joining us right now in our virtual green room is T.L. Scholl. He's written a book called Ready? Do They Have a Pill for That? We keep talking about mental illness, helping people who need help, but what really is going on out there? And he's a clinical psychologist. He's really given his heart and soul to this career, so he's as passionate as I am in a much different way, in a deeper way, too. So thanks for joining us, and I love the title of your book because that's what it feels like to a lot of my friends that I've spoken to, that they just get a pill and then they're sent on their way, but nothing changes. How frustrating is that for someone like you?
It's extremely frustrating because the research dictates that the greatest efficacy comes when you have both psychotherapy or counseling in addition to medication. One alone does not necessarily necessitate a cure, if you want to use that term, or even emotional stability. So when you have both, then you get the greatest efficacy.
Yeah, I agree with that. What made you write the book? Was that the reason why? Like, let's get this out there. Let's tell more people about what's really happening.
Well, when I was a small child growing up, and I illustrate this in, I think, my first few pages in the book, there was a little shy Irish boy next door, and we just loved this kid. He was just awesome, but he would always hide, and he was quiet, and you couldn't get him to talk. I still have, this is like 50 years later, and I still have his little face in my mind, and it's hard for me to talk even to this day about that. You know, we always tried to pull him into our games, but he was frightened and he was being abused and we didn't know that. And then one day we found out that he hung himself. And it was a tragedy, and that sort of stuck in my mind and made an indelible stamp on my brain. And then later I endured a lot of physical and emotional abuse as a child, growing up with my stepfather, who was extremely stern and a very stern disciplinarian. Not to be so graphic, but my nose was broken. I have a couple broken ribs. I was kicked downstairs, verbally abused, had to watch my mother get punched out. It was incredibly bad. Then I finally escaped that situation and lived with my grandmother, and my brother did too. He later became a physician. And we escaped the situation, was raised by a very empathetic grandmother. And then I went to college, and she and my father, who was, my father was great, but very brokenhearted after the divorce from my mother, because my mother was, well, essentially cheating.
Yeah.
And as a result, my father was extremely depressed, and I saw clinical depression in my father, but he was very quiet, humble. I had the greatest dad. I can't say anything bad about my dad. He was just always there for us, and he encouraged us to be doctors. And I honestly, maybe my self-esteem was low. I suffered from clinical depression myself. I actually had thought about suicide several times, never carried it out, but thought about it. And I met a girl who was in psychology in college, and I was extremely shy, very withdrawn, didn't think very highly of myself, but this girl kind of turned me around. And unfortunately, I wanted her so bad as a girlfriend, but I didn't get her because I just didn't make any moves because I was frightened. And she went off with someone else. But I did get a psychology degree, which it was a stepping stone essentially into unemployment. But after that, I decided, you know what, I like this. I can use this to help people. And I went on to get two master's degrees and a doctorate.
Wow. And congratulations on that, and for the fact that you have such empathy and you understand and the background you came from, and you're trying to help other people. Is that what you hope people take away from this, that we amplify the message that, hey, let's do something. There's always something else you can do to help, right?
Mental health matters, and I have these discussions all the time with people. A matter of fact, I was at a hospital this morning. I talked to a group of nurses about it. The fact that we don't give enough credence to mental health. And, there are statistics, and I can quote a few. It was just so funny. This is so timely. I was looking at People magazine today, and they talked about suicide and suicide prevention, and I didn't even realize that 1.4 million people annually in the United States attempt suicide. 173,000 actually complete the act, and 129 people average per day a suicide attempt. Those are striking figures.
Boy, I agree with that. And I want to make sure I tell everybody, pick up T.L. Scholl's book, Do They Have a Pill for That? Again, Do They Have a Pill for That? When you decided to put the book together, how hard was it? Because I'm sure you had to leave some stories out. How did you pick what you were going to write about?
It was difficult. I didn't want to write the book initially. It was my father. I'd come home, and my father lived in Florida, and I was up in the Midwestern states. And I'd call him at least once or twice, or he'd call me once or twice a week, and he'd say, give me some stories. How are you helping people? I said, well, Dad, why don't you talk to my brother? He's a trauma surgeon. You know, work with him. He'll tell you stories. No, yours are more interesting. And are you helping people? So, of course, I had to morph the stories. I couldn't tell him exactly what was happening, but I kind of gave him a ballpark, and he found it fascinating. And he said, did you really treat a pig? I'm like, well, yes, but it's not like it seems, you know, but yes, I did. You know, did you really exercise a cat, perform an exorcism? I'm like, yeah, Dad, I did, but it's not like you think, you know, that, and you got to write this. You got to write a book. So I attempted the book. I threw it away a couple times when I had two or three chapters. I thought, nobody's going to want to read this. Who's interested in one little psychologist of all the many mental health therapists, doctors, you know, in the United States, who's T.L. Scholl, who cares about him? Nobody. But I was encouraged many times by my father, you know, to take it out of the trash. Come on, let's do this. And he always supported and encouraged me. And it took me 8 years to select certain stories that were funny, but some stories that were augmented that were very tragic. And actually, I have many more tragic stories, but I sort of screened those out. And the reason I did that was so that I can focus more on people understanding mental health rather than turning it into a crime novel. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And then you finally, that's awesome, you put it together, you get that encouragement, and imagine the people that you'll reach with this book. T.L. Scholl, again, his book is called Do They Have a Pill for That? What was the surprising thing that you learned by doing this book? Was there anything, you talked about the statistics with suicide, was there anything that really stuck out in your mind after you wrote the book?
After I wrote the book, besides I've seen painted systems who don't seem to care, and that was very discouraging and disillusioning, many systems, which I really shouldn't go into detail about, but the systems around us don't take mental health as seriously as they could, and they don't ramp up services to where they need to be to help people. And unfortunately, our culture today seems a little more narcissistic than it was, say, 30 or 40 years ago. Now, I could be wrong, and I don't want to label our society in a negative manner, but people seem to be a little more self-centered today. And unless mental health hits you personally, that's when you start taking it serious. But one thing that struck me throughout writing this book was how fragile we are as people from a mental health perspective. Everybody is hurting in one way or another out there, whether they acknowledge it or get help or not, but we all have our issues. I think we just need to show a little more love, understanding, and compassion for each other.
Yeah, it's so well said, and I think you're right. More love and compassion for each other, and boy, what a difference that would make, because then there wouldn't be so much of that judgment, and everybody's got something, and you certainly have seen that. And again, I'll tell everybody, the book is called Do They Have a Pill for That? So before we wrap this up, how are you feeling now? You sound pretty good, and I know you deal with a lot of sad cases, but does it somehow make you feel grateful that you've been put in this profession to help? Because I guarantee you've helped people, TL.
Yeah, well, not everybody gets help from me. I don't think everybody gets help 100% from any doctor of mental health or counselor. But I put my 110% into it all the time. And I think the nicest thing is that we always, well, at least in my case, I don't always get a pat on the back, nor am I looking for that. But it's really nice. My reward is not monetary. My reward is when I see that I put together a marriage, again, when they were on the verge of divorce, or I helped an alcoholic turn his life around, or I helped or saved a couple people from suicide. I think when I see those things, that kind of lights my heart up. Does that make sense?
And it's a perfect place to end this. I love it. Lights your heart up. You are definitely helping. Thanks so much, T.L. Scholl. Pick up the book, Do They Have a Pill for That? Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
One night, a bet all the money. Nothing was left.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
US USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Who is the mysterious whistleblower? Republicans on Capitol Hill want to know, and so does President Trump.
What happened to the informant? And where is the IG? Why didn't the IG read the letter, read the transcript? He could have gotten it, I guess, I assume. I would have declassified it for him if I had to do that. Why didn't he read this and then see that the whistleblower's account was totally different than the letter?
Now the president and Republicans pressuring Democrats for transparency in their ongoing impeachment inquiry. Republicans want information, transcripts, and audio recordings from the closed-door hearings in the House. Republicans and Democrats able to come together on Capitol Hill to pay respects to Maryland Congressman Democrat Elijah Cummings, who passes away last week at the age of 68. Here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
I have called him our North Star.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
Myself in the bathroom mirror. I can still see myself even though I was only 8.
Can you tell me your story?
Sadly, this is too epidemic in our lives, and there is a great new documentary film that follows five women's true stories of sexual abuse. It's called The Girl Who Cannot Speak. Stefano DeFray is with us. He and his partner, Laura Pellegrini, worked on this project and just did such an amazing job with it, co-producing, co-directing, all of that. So, Stefano, welcome. And the first question is, why do this documentary? What led you to this?
Well, first of all, let me just say thank you so much for having me on your show. It's a pleasure and an honor, especially to get this message out. We started production. Laura and I had talked about doing this production in this documentary in about June of 2017, and Laura had worked at a women's shelter in Westchester, And there were many, many cases of women that we were considering to do documentaries about that had stories of how they rebuilt their lives, how they became sort of heroes in their own stories. In October of that year is when the Weinstein scandal had hit, and that's when we knew that that was like a sign from the universe that we had to take this much more seriously, and it also helped us get the financing for putting together this project because it was going to require a lot of people, a lot of different individuals from different cities, and just trying to source as many people as possible. We were off and running in October. We shot the documentary over the course, I would say, of 3 months between November, December, and into January of 2018. And then we started with the Cannes Film Festival, and then with NBC. Then it was on NBC.com and interviewed by Andrea Mitchell on her show, and it was available for streaming on their NBC platform for about 4 months for their Meet the Press shorts documentaries.
And what do you hope, obviously you want a wide net, what do you hope people get out of watching this?
You know, it's a great question, because I think every time that I have someone that sees the documentary, especially if I'm in the room or we play it at a screening, whether it screens at a festival or whether it screens at a theater in New York, we've had we've been asked by a lot of private screenings here and over in the West Coast. People always come up to you and they tell you things that are so personal. It's a shock. It's a real shock for me. The amount of people have come up to me and just that you're holding afterwards that will cry in your arms. Women and men, actually, shockingly enough. So you are receiving people's, sometimes people that you've just met that have such an emotional reaction from the film, their experiences and their trauma. And when they come up to you, that's better than anything. I mean, yes, it's great to have it play at festivals and the NBC is great and all that stuff, but, and being, you know, all the, but really, that's the most important, because you realize that many people are in pain and they're suffering in silence. And so I've heard things. One of the women in the documentary, Claire, told me that because of the doc, she was able to tell her boys. She had never told her boys before.
Wow.
And I mean, you don't know that when you're going to start off. You right. Start off, you want to have a good documentary, but you don't know that how that's going to work if you're going to get there. But if you can have some impact in people's lives, my God, that's really what it's all about. Why, that's why we're here. You know, that's why all of us are here in a way, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. We're speaking with Stefano DeFray, and he and his partner, Laura Pellegrini, came up with this amazing documentary, co-directors and producers of The Girl Who Cannot Speak. And what bravery for these women to come forward and tell their stories, right?
Oh, my God. I mean, just prepping, first of all, with the process with Laura and myself, I can't speak highly enough of having a partner. We're a very rare duo, because she's a female director and I'm a male director, and you don't see a lot of that. And you don't see that a lot in the dialogue of people. It's either usually one or the other. But Laura and I have been collaborating on the past 7 films together, and having her, having her sensitivity and her background with having worked at a shelter, we were then able to look at the stories of individuals. We probably sourced 50 to 55 people through different contacts of shelters that we had in the New York City area. And then from that, we had to meet them. They had enough courage to then talk to us. And that takes a long time, because you have to trust each other, right? So you're meeting someone who then you've read their story and you've spoken to them on the phone, and then they're trusting you to put it on film. And the preparation, I think, for that documentary was very delicate, because the environment is everything. And, you know, five women end up being documented in the film, but we had about seven ready to roll. And I can tell you that two beforehand had called me up and said, listen, Stefano, I'm really sorry, but I can't. And I said, of course, you know, of course, I understand that you don't feel comfortable. So even no matter how it is, you'll always, there's always people that you have to give. Everyone is different. Everyone is not ready to share at the same time as publicly as it is. So I'm grateful for just for having these five. Their voices speak on behalf of many voices that are not at the place in their life where they've been able to share their own story.
Yeah. 8 out of 10 rape cases, the victim knows the attacker. 13.3% of college women say they've been forced to have sex in a dating situation. Only 28% of victims report their sexual assault to the police. For you personally, going through this, what do you hope happens as far as change in our country and the way women are seen and treated?
Well, I think, first of all, those statistics are totally right. It's the highest crime. We knew this going in when we did some statistical research. It's the highest crime that is not reported. And I think it begins at a young age, including also educating young men in terms of how we talk about women. I mean, there's some very important things that you have to check at the door as well, being a guy. You know, when as guys growing up in high school and in college, we talk about women and we validate other men's experiences based on how well they did. Did you score? Did you go to second base, first base? So that dialogue is part of the overall narrative of how we are treating each other in all the wrong ways. So that's one part that I'd like to, you know, talk about, and also is in the documentary about how women who are in personal relationships that the other men that they've been with afterwards are also suffering because of an original crime by someone else when they then try to rebuild their lives. Secondly, just for women alone specifically, that the resources now more than ever are available for them, now more than ever, that even though, you know, college campuses now are bringing up, I just saw this with Syracuse, I got contacted by Syracuse University and I got contacted by UCLA Berkeley, and they want to play this for their dean of students in their programs for their freshmen, this documentary at their school. And we said yes, absolutely, because if women can feel that there is a platform for them to then share their stories and tell, speak up and report it, that there, and when you diminish the stigma to it, you have them getting support immediately. And that's what we want. That's exactly what we want. And at the same time, we have to change the way that men and women talk about and recognize that trauma starts early. It doesn't start from just the act at the end. It starts early on, from how we talk about each other.
Boy, so well said. Perfect place to end this. Stefano DeFray, thank you so much. Go to thegirlwhocannotspeak.com to find out more.
It's such a pleasure being with you, and thank you for being so calm and so sweet to us and getting the message out. And just want to say a shout out again to St. Louis Film Festival. We will be playing at the St. Louis Film Festival from November 8th to the 17th in St. Louis, Missouri, and it's an Oscar qualifier there. And just want to send you a virtual hug from my phone right now.
Thank you, Stefano. Have a great one.
spot in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
She's written a book called The Perfect Woman, and you know there's so many stories to tell, and I think he wrote this book, we're going to let him tell you, he's in our virtual green room, he wrote this book because of somebody he met who was a little bit different. Spike, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm happy to be here.
So tell us about this unique person that you met that made you decide, oh, I'm going to write a book about this, in a sense, with this novel.
Well, I had a ranch in the Southern California desert. My dad and I built it, and we raised horses and cattle and alfalfa. Also, I was writing some screenplays and some things with a friend of mine, and we did a little filming there at the ranch, and there was an independent film crew working there, and they were staying on the ranch. And one of the ladies on the film crew was a very attractive lady and very nice. And we became friends. They were there for a little over a month. And she was very athletic, and she rode her bikes up and down the dirt road, which is difficult, pedaling bike. And she did some jogging also. And before they left, someone asked me, do you know about her? And I said, I don't know. What about her? They said, she's transgender. And I didn't know what that was. This was 25 years ago. I said, what the heck is that? And so they told me that she was born with both sexes, and she was raised as a boy, and it didn't work because they didn't do proper surgery. So then later her body started developing. And he had no idea what anything was about that. And so I asked her, and she was very honest with me and told me a lot about it. I was very curious because I didn't detect anything.
So how would you know, like you said, riding just there with the crew, you didn't know, and I that would make me curious. I mean, after meeting someone who, as you said, transgender wasn't even a word then. So, and that,
yeah.
did that inspire you to write about that? Like, hey, I'm going to write a novel and wrap it around this.
Well, yes, it did. Yes and no. Actually, I had been writing some screenplays and some short stories, and just more for fun than anything. I mean, we did a little bit of producing and stuff, but I had thought about writing a novel. But one of the things I thought about is I don't want to write an everyday novel, you know, something that you can go buy and read, and you've read a lot of them similar. So when I thought of her story, I thought, well, now that's a unique story. I think that's the one I should write. And I talked to her about it, and she said, fine. But then I interviewed her a few times, then wrote some of it, and then I'd put it away and have an idea to write something else, and I'd do other writing. So over a period of years, every now and then I would take it out and work on it some more. So that's how it came about. Go ahead.
I love it. And like you said, you put it away, then you went back to it, you put it away. What was it like when you finished the book? Did you feel like accomplished? Wow, I did it. I finished it. What was that like?
Absolutely. I'm very proud of the last two chapters anyway. And that was finishing it. And it really seemed to come full circle. And I had a lady that read it, and she said, she loved it because she loved the way all the characters came full circle. And so, I did that kind of deliberately. I really didn't know what I was doing, but I used some of the circumstances to recall all the things that happened through the book and bring them into the surface near the end of the book. So I was really relieved when I hit the end.
Yeah, good for you. And we're speaking with Spike Lynch, and the name of the book is The Perfect Woman. What do you hope people take away from reading your novel? What do you want them to feel or think?
Well, I've had a number of people, quite a few people that read it, and they were very set in their ways against the lifestyle of the LGBT and the gay lifestyle. And all they knew was what they'd seen on at these gay pride things on television and whatever. And it's nothing like that at all in reality. And they told me that some of them didn't even want to read it because they didn't like the genre. But as soon as they read it, I got phone calls and letters saying, this was wonderful. I've changed my thinking along those lines. And that's what I thought about, because while I was researching, I realized people fear what they don't understand. And so I took it upon myself to, as I learned, I did a lot of research to do it. As I learned, I took it upon myself to write things that I was learning into the book so people would be educated without even realizing they're being taught. And so that's what I'd like to continue to do. I realize that education is the answer. So anyway.
Wow. So profound. Education is the answer. You know what we call that, Spike? That is a tweetable moment, because it's true. And in the form of a novel where, you know, you're reading a story and there's a story attached to this and whatnot, it comes to life. And you mentioned this before. You've written before. You've done screenplays and a number of short stories. So you did have some ability as a writer. Now, growing up on that ranch that you worked, did you think you would end up writing screenplays and novels?
Not at first, not at all. But I had been married to a flight attendant, and she flew out of Seattle a lot. And so I could take a pass and fly up there. And I met a couple of friends of hers, another flight attendant and her husband. And he was doing some writing, so we got together and decided to try and write something together. And that's how it started. And something clicked. I really didn't think I wanted to be a writer, but something clicked. And as we were writing a story, all of a sudden other story ideas came into my head. So I wound up, besides doing ranching and being a cowboy, I wound up writing on the side. So it was very different. I didn't really think about trying to change the world, but it seems that that's what has started to happen.
I love it. So, again, you can pick up this book, by the way, The Perfect Woman, by Spike Lynch on Amazon. And you said this, you know, you finish it, you write, et cetera, and it felt really good to finish that novel. The people around you, what was a lot of their reaction to it? Because, you know, we have our friends to bounce our ideas off of. What did they say about your novel?
Well, two of my daughters really encouraged me to write it and finish it, and they live, one lives in Texas and one lives in South Carolina, but they were very helpful. There's some of my friends doubted that I would ever finish it, one of my brothers didn't, he thought it was a get-rich-quick scheme. I said, it took 25 years, how does that be quick?
I love it. Get-rich-quick scheme. No, it wasn't a get-rich-quick scheme. I love it. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. The Perfect Woman. Yes, The Perfect Woman, Spike Lynch. Best part of doing this whole thing for you? What's the best part?
The best part was the response I've gotten from people that were from all walks of life, were absolutely opposed to that lifestyle. And they have... I have yet one of them not to say, I learned a lot, and I recommend it because I have taken a completely different stance on that. And that was very rewarding. I really didn't expect that. And one of them lives in Sedona, and she is married to a billionaire, literally a billionaire, and very wealthy person, and I've known her for years, and she's a writer also, and a poet, but when she said that, she told me, I didn't know that, but she was totally against that lifestyle, and then she said she changed her entire thinking about it, and that's things like that. Oh, it felt wonderful.
Yes. Perfect place to end this. Spike Lynch, his book, The Perfect Woman, pick it up on Amazon. Spike, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.